Hi, this is Michelle Martin with the Bamboo Project, and today I have with me Bud Deal, Jeff Nugent, and Britt Watwood from the Virginia Commonwealth University Center for Teaching Excellence. And I asked them to do an interview with me because the three of them have been working together on using social media both to enhance teaching but also in their own learning with each other, and I was really curious to hear about how this has evolved and what their experience is like and so forth. So, guys, I'm going to turn it over to you. Welcome. Thanks for agreeing to talk to me. Let me put it out there and just ask you, you know, how did you get started in all of this? What got you started on social media and using blogging and those kinds of tools? And, you know, how did this all start?
Hey, Michelle, this is Jeff Nugent, and in my work here at the center as the associate director, one of the things that I try to do is working closely with Britt and Bud is to provide some real leadership on the use of instructional technology with faculty to support teaching and learning. And that's really an evolutionary step for our center. Britt joined our CTE 2 years ago as an online learning specialist. It was a period of growth for our center. Bud joined the CTE a year prior to that. Bud has been here at VCU, and as I said, Bud's been here for over a decade, approaching two, and you know, he carries with him a lot of the institutional memory of the university. And, you know, VCU has, you know, approached, like many colleges and universities, has had to change, evolve, and grow from the early days of how we dealt with technology by just building infrastructure with boxes and wires and connecting the network and making sure that was all in good shape.
Right.
Towards, you know, working in a more academic context to try to teach faculty how to use technology in a meaningful way. But that tended to be a training kind of focus, using productivity suite kinds of stuff, mm-hmm. And then the learning management system. But the center now is taking a more active role in providing leadership support and faculty development in the area of using technology in pedagogically appropriate and meaningful ways. And that means that you're just not using the technology for the sake of the technology, but you're also making important instructional decisions about that. So that's part of our role. We try to make that mix happen. Mm-hmm. And the past year, almost year and a half, as you well know, has seen a really tremendous explosion in terms of capability for inaction, exchange, collaboration, and participation on the web. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Britt, Bud, and myself kind of threw ourselves into that in some ways, and in some ways kicking and screaming. You know, I would...
Yeah, so 30 minutes.
That's right. I would, one of the things that we do is, I think, agitate one another towards exploration, and, you know, that takes time. And I think, you know, what I'd like to do is hand it off to both Britt and Bud to let them tell some of their stories about, you know, like when I first pitched the idea of Delicious as a, you know, as a bookmarking tool.
Right.
And, you know, when these guys kind of look at me and, like, you know, they get a snarl on their face and go, like, you know, what are you talking about?
Right, right.
So I'd like to just turn it over to both Britt and Bud, let them share a little bit of their story, perhaps, about how that has unfolded here and how that really has kind of not only transformed our own practice together, but in our work with faculty as well.
Well, hi, Michelle. This is Britt Watwood, and Jeff's right on target. I came here about 2 years ago. What drew me to the job was this chance to and just focus on teaching and focus on helping faculty do a better job of teaching, and mm-hmm. that, to me, seemed like a dream job.
Yeah, I'm jealous.
I have to admit, when I came, and probably the first year I was here, my focus still was on the tools. It was my job to show people the tools and how to use the tools. And what really has happened over the last year is, and again, I think Jeff had a large piece to play with that, is this agitation to not just show people the tools, but sort of in the Zen way we talk around here, become one with the tool. And
well, it's about process as much as the tool.
It is. It is. And Delicious is a great example. I mean, all of us were bookmarking, but, you know, why use a web bookmarking tool? It just didn't click. And then we began seeing opportunities for collaboration through the tool. And what really got me going was through a Ning social networking site, College 2.0. I connected with a lady over in Romania who had written a paper about using Delicious in her class. Mm-hmm. And she shared that paper with me. I thought, well, there's something I can do, so let me try making Delicious a part of my graduate class that I was teaching in the School of Education. And it turned out to be an eye-opening experience for me, so much so that you'd have to pry the keyboard from my cold hands.
Yeah, you're in my network, and you're one of the most prolific bookmarkers I think I've seen. So I can tell that you've embraced that technology wholeheartedly.
I've heard that from several people.
I love it. Yeah, I think it's great. You wouldn't be in my network if I didn't think you did good stuff.
And I really get people in my network, and I am, and I see the things you save also, so it works both ways.
Right.
Think what has happened in this last year of a synergy. We've become more adept at using these tools. We've begun to see more spinoffs, which has increased our excitement. And so this is fun times for us. So, Bud, I'll let you jump in at this point.
Michelle, hi, Bud Deal.
Hi, Bud.
I think reflecting on what Jeff talked about, the introduction that he gave me to social book really didn't stick at all the first time around. And that really relates to earlier experiences in my career where I worked in the library and was around cataloging and looking at things from a standards point of view, and he brings this idea of a folksonomy to me, which I thought was fairly absurd at first. But then, given that I have a fairly bad memory and I tend to file things sometimes by Jeff, talking with Jeff, or it might be that I file it up for some particular title related to what you're talking about, to find these things, having the ability now to create folksonomy and cross-reference things really served my needs.
Right.
But it was still a very personal type of tool at that point. And it took a while for me to catch on to the real social nature of it. And then when I finally realized the fact that this can lead me to other people who are interested in similar things and find other resources and begin to email us each other people and make contacts, it really became exciting. I think in regard to technology, as the other guys have talked about, I used to think of it long before telephones were fancy centers of the world as they are today, when they were just a black telephone. I used to think that technology should be like that. It should fade into the background and just be something that serves our purposes and not be a big deal. So I think I've tried to embrace that kind of approach to technology, to try to focus on not so much the tools beyond initial introduction, but think about creative ways, as you've seen me do in our relationship with Doc and so forth. I like to jump to that next level and say, how can I use this in some way to serve teaching or communication or collaborating with people? So that's kind of where
I think you guys are bringing up a good point, which is that a lot of people, and because there's some level of learning curve for any of these tools, you can get sort of hung up at that level and not make it to the process level of saying, okay, well, all right, now I understand, you know, the basics of how to use this tool. Let me start to expand how it can make my life easier or, you know, make me more effective in what I do, because you can get kind of hung up on just the tool itself. But it seems like all three of you have, you know, moved to another level, and it's sort of evolved your thinking about how these different tools can be used. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. And in listening to both, and that's a really nice summary there, Michelle. I want to kind of piggyback on that and add a layer, which is this, that, yeah, people come to it at different points and times in terms of adoption. Mm-hmm. But I think that at least from the experience that Britt, Bud, and myself have had, you know, and Delicious is a good kind of test case for that. Like, you can approach something and go away from it, and approach it and go away from it, and start to use it, and then it fades. And sometimes it doesn't really gain traction for mm-hmm. a while. It can take months. And I think one of the things that's really benefited us is that we have two channels that are kind of going on. We have our face-to-face stuff that we do on a daily basis where we support one another. But we've now also developed this other channel that allows us to gain insight into, you know, what's happening in the virtual space, the online space, on the network. Mm-hmm. Like, what's happening for us? And I think we've come to value that in a way where Delicious was a starting point that was a little bit of a I'll steal a term from a buddy of mine. It was like the edge glue. It's the stuff that kind of bound us together mm-hmm. in terms of being able to, you know, Brit out bookmarking something that is of interest to me. I get to gain insight into where he's at, what he's working on, what's mm-hmm. on his mind. You can see the flow. And the same with Bud and myself, we all get to see not only in the environment, but online on the network, we see how we're working. And, you know, we used to be surprised by the synchronicity or arriving at the same place at the same time about an idea. But now it's like it's not even weird anymore that right. we arrive conceptually at the same moment.
Right.
Because I think we share these tracks, and that's one of the things that I think is that glue that we feel, I don't know, I do at least, feel glued together through these tools in a way that the interaction and exchange really take that we're able to do to a completely different level.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And, you know, the fun thing is, you go back 18 months, we were getting once a coffee and talk over things. And we still do that. Get together for Monday mornings. But right. we're now getting together 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in some ways on different levels. And the conversation spills over and continues. And you know, one of the things Bud is really good at is the concept mapping. And I still have a hard time with the whole concept map thing, but I really see when he starts drawing these connections how that ties into what I do. And,
right.
and there are connections between our blogging and what we're doing on Delicious, what we're doing face-to-face, what we're doing in the workshops we run for faculty, and it's almost like a continuous conversation going on about the social media, and it's really kind of fun to watch.
Well, do you think that the fact that you are all three of you at the same, you know, location with the same organization, do you think that that has helped propel you forward faster than would have been the case if each of you had been working in your own separate institutions and connecting that way? Because it seems to me that those two things have been feeding on each other, that, you know, your social network online expands, but then also because the three of you have each other to sort of support each other, that has fed into it as well.
Yeah. It's too bad you don't have video because these guys are cueing me on. They hear my breath coming for a second. When the moments come or when the real problems come, you'll see me in the doorway. And I have to share that or have to separate what's going on or if I'm in real trouble, as I was this morning with something, I just kind of have to scream out and get my colleagues to help me here.
Right.
So I think that really is a benefit to sort of be here and try to respect sometimes private time and private space, but sometimes you just have to lean over and ask a question or get straightened out, and it really helps.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it has strengthened the relationships that the three of you have with each other.
No doubt about that.
That it's really been, you know, a benefit to have had these online connections, even though you actually see each other all the time.
Yeah. Physically. But, you know, I think maybe one difference, you know, I've worked in lots of organizations, and I've had close working relationships with groups of people in lots of organizations. I think what's different now is the social friends that we've met through our various networks that, you're a good example of that. The three of us wanted to be sitting in the same room when we talked to you because our facial body language and facial expressions kind of cue each other to a degree.
Right.
I don't think it would have been as much fun for us to each be in our office doing this.
Right.
But at the same time, I count you as one of our colleagues in this process that we're trying to unfold. As I mentioned to you on more than one occasion, I probably would not have started if it hadn't been for your social healings blog article that really propelled me to step out and start doing it.
And I love that because that's exactly what I hope happens. And actually, you're segueing a little bit into something I did want to make sure that I heard, you know, that I got you guys to talk about, which is the whole experience of blogging and how you feel like that has helped, or, you know, how that fits into your personal learning experiences.
Well, I think these technologies and blogging as part of it, the immediacy, the availability of content, the availability to tap into the flatness of the world and make mm-hmm. connections has really accelerated things, because as we see what each other are thinking about, we can immediately share other resources that we're aware of and say, well, you're thinking about this, why don't you read that? Or mm-hmm. Michelle said something in this blog posting, why don't you take a look at that, and so forth. So I think the technologies are really coming in to accelerate as well.
Well, and Jeff's comment about synchronicity, I think, is important too, because I think what blogging has done is really help us see that a lot of others around the world are dealing with the same kinds of things mm-hmm. we're trying to deal with. And so we're not only feeding off each other, we're feeding off of this kind of groundswell that's going on worldwide in trying to come to grips with the best uses of technologies and tools and teaching with an end result of learning. And it's kind of an exciting time.
Let me just add one thing there, because the thing about blogs, it didn't all start out rosy for us, you know.
Right.
It's not the kind of thing that people like automatically jump into. I mean, I can't tell you the number of times that, like, I said, you know, even to myself, you know, you really got to start doing this blogging thing just for your own reflection, to envision an audience, to contribute to the conversation. And, you know, I think each of us around this table right now have had false starts with a blog.
Mm-hmm.
You get out there, you pitch a couple posts, and then it dies.
Right.
To see some folks like yourself and others and folks like Brissa that are part of, you know, now, like the synergy around blogging, at least here, 3 days, I think, I said to Brissa, I said, you know, you're coming up with some really good ideas, man. I think you need to start writing. And he's like, I don't think so. and then within 2 days, he's got a blog up, writing some amazing stuff. He starts blogging with his students, and then it catches fire.
Right.
I'm sitting around going, you know what? I'm a slow writer, and it's going to take me a lot longer, but, you know, I need to contribute to the conversation as well. And then pretty much on the heels of that, Bud, you know, revived and breathed new life back into his blog that he had had for some time. So I think one of the things is, first of all, like, the three of us together overcome fear.
Yeah, great
you
point.
Know, you're not alone.
Yeah.
And
right.
We're here together. I mean, and I think if I were here independently, and because trust me, there's three other staff members here at the center,
mm-hmm.
and the other half look at blogging, and they look at blog as a four-letter word.
And, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so if you're here alone and your most immediate colleagues are saying, eh, why do you want to do that? Like, there's not the incentive to overcome a little bit of the fear. So right. The camaraderie and the support that's face-to-face, I think, crucially plays into the kind of risk-taking that we're able to do. But then once you get over that hump,
right,
it just generates something that's difficult to hold back. And, you know, I recall going back to when you said there was in your blog, I think you want to bottle up something and, you know, share the dissemination of that kind of stuff. Well, yeah, let me know when you figure out how to do that. You know, we would like to be able to do that.
Well, you know what, though? I think you bring up a good point, Jeff, about the idea that there are a lot of, and you guys alluded to this earlier, too, that there are a lot of false starts and circling around all of this stuff that I think is sort of a natural part of the participation. You know, you're moving in and out and that kind of thing. And so part of it, from our point of view, is of being early adopters may be sort of recognizing and supporting, okay, there are going to be these false starts, so how do we get people to at least keep an arm in there, you know, keep something going to keep them interested, because eventually it will catch fire. And then, as you said, it's difficult to turn it off. I mean, I know that for me, it would be impossible to stop blogging, you know, at this point.
I think we're reaching that point, too.
And part of it is the audience. And of course, for you guys, the good thing is, as you say, you have sort of a built-in audience, too. So that's something that turns a lot of people off initially, is like, well, am I writing into the void? So at least you had each other. But I think that, I couldn't stop writing just for my own personal, like, I'm getting something out of this. I'm learning so much from that process.
And I think that's something we've all kind of felt, at least I have, is originally I was wondering, who the hell am I writing for? And now I know I'm running for myself.
Right.
And it really means a lot to me to use this as sort of an open, reflective medium. That's kind of interesting that there are actually other people that comment back.
Right.
But, we were looking at subscription numbers the other day, and you've got quite a few people that subscribe to your blog. I haven't broken into two digits yet, but we're working on it. So,
well, I've been blogging it took a year and a half, and I'm just now starting to feel like, okay, well, I have the feeds built up.
Yeah.
So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Michelle, I'm virtually nobody in the blogosphere, but one of the things I think that can begin to give you a sense of encouragement about doing it at all is when someone does respond to your post and validate that the work is worthwhile. And, our connection came, as you know, from me sending an email thanking you for introducing me to Jot.
To Jot, right.
And when I went back and to get my daily dose of your blog and saw my name in lights, I almost passed out. It made me feel like I did have something to say.
And you do.
That enforcement is a valuable thing.
Indeed. It is. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's I think that's a really important point for us, again, as sort of early adopters of helping other people too, is, you know, there's a tendency, I think, to on some levels for people to go support like the popular bloggers, quote unquote. You know, you go comment on their blogs. They aren't the ones who need it. You know, the ones who really need the comments are the people who are just starting out and are needing somebody to say, yeah, you have something important to say, and tell me more. I want to hear more of that. So
that's an important practice. And,
Well, I hate to end here because I'm really enjoying this conversation, but we just went over the 24-minute mark, which is way longer than I had originally planned. But I really want to thank the three of you for sharing your experiences and talking with us, because I think this is really interesting stuff, and it's just been a great conversation.
No, we've enjoyed it too,
for the opportunity.
Well, thank you, and this has been Michelle Martin with the Bamboo Project.